Awesome. Thank you, guys. I've had lots of kisses this morning, lots of encouragement because everyone knew I was speaking, so thank you. I appreciate that. Sanjay's gray hair is because of the difficult times. I'm sure he will continue to go through some more difficult times with me. Right?
Yes. No, yes.
Just kidding. Okay, awesome. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, your cell phones, just open that app up. Just wipe off your fingerprints. Some of you, just blow the dust off that Bible. Because I do, because I really don't read my Bible, my paper Bible. I read my cell phone instead. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 10. Yell out if you're there. Awesome. Okay. Verse 10, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I've taken the title from an 80s classic movie, and the movie is called The Breakfast Club. Has anyone seen that movie? I know, it's epic, right? When it first came out, it became a cult hit, and it's based on these five high schoolers who, for some reason or another, get detention on a Saturday. Which is, I don't know how that works, but apparently you do do detention on a Saturday in America. So these guys are stuck with each other for 8 hours. And as you watch the movie and as the movie unfolds, you start to see relationships build. You start to see friendships form, and these five characters, you've got the nerd, obviously. You've got the jock. You've got the princess, the prim and proper person. You've got the outcast and you've got the rebel. And these five characters are stuck in this room and they don't really have anything to do with each other and they're forced to be in that room. And as the relationship develops and the friendships form, and as they start to share the things that they're going through, towards the end of the movie, something incredible happens. And at the end of their detention, as they walk out of the high school, the video camera pans and gets a close-up of their face, and you see the emotion playing as they walk out and leave each other and all the things that they've shared and their vulnerabilities. And as they walk away and the video camera closes up on them, they stop and they all look towards each other, and you just see that emotion and the thought that's playing in their mind, and you finally see that the penny drops in them, and they reflect on their 8 hours together, and they realize, when I go back to school on Monday, will things be different? As I walk down the corridor and you see me coming, will you stop and talk to me? When I'm having lunch, by myself, will you come and join me? Will you remember me? Or will it just go back to how things used to be when you ignored me, you bullied me, you treated me like an outcast? And I love this movie, and as I was thinking about what I'm going to speak on, I just keep getting this thought, and it's something that I just want to, I guess, delve in a little bit and talk about, and it's this word, and you can see it behind me, "Don't you forget about me." Fellas, if you want to play the song, play it loud.
Forget about me.
Louder.
Will you stand above me?
Feel free to move.
Look my way.
Come on.
Never love.
Let
me
have fun in church.
Rain keeps falling down. Recognize me, call my name on
won't sing. I don't want to scare you. Thank you, guys. But I love that song. You know, and as I was preparing this message, that was the thought that kept coming through my mind. And before, you know, we get into Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, I've got to give you a little bit of background knowledge. You know, some context and perspective into the scripture so you don't think, what the heck are you talking about? You know, and it starts off with Moses. You know, Pharaoh, he declares an edict and he says, you know, every child under this age, I want you to kill. Every male child, I want you to destroy. And so Moses' mother hears this, grabs her child, bundles him up, sticks him in a basket and, you know, pushes him out down the river. And Hannah, which is Moses' younger sister, knows what the mother's done. And so she, you know, runs down and she finds the basket, pulls Moses in, and hands Moses over to Pharaoh's sister. And daughter. You know, and so she decides she will raise this child as her own. And fast forward a little bit, Moses becomes an adult. You know, and he's walking around the city, and he sees an Egyptian, and I always struggle when I say this word, Egyptian soldier whipping an Israelite man. And out of his anger, he lashes out and he kills the Egyptian. And then he realizes what he's done. So he flees. He takes off out of Egypt. Fast forward a little bit later in his life, he gets married and he's a shepherd, looking after sheep. So he's gone from here to here. You know, and you know, and then as he's shepherding, looking after the sheep, he comes upon a burning bush. You know, and I love this because the bush is burning, but it's actually not burning. It's just flames, but it's still alive. You know, so God grabs his attention and says, "Hey, Moses," I'm abbreviating here, "I've got something for you to do. I've called you for a purpose." And Moses is like, "What the?" And you know, "I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to set your people free. I've heard their cry. I've heard, you know, their despair. I want you to go back and I want you to set them free." And Moses freaks out. "Ah, I can't do this. Who am I? You know, I've killed a person. I can't even speak properly because I start to stutter, you know." And God goes, "Don't worry, I got you back. I'll have Aaron there and he'll help you out." So Moses is like, "Sweet." So he goes back to Egypt, and we know the story. He ends up setting his people free, you know, through the 10 plagues. And Pharaoh has enough and he's like, "Get out of here. You grab your people and you guys go. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of what's happening because of your God. You know, your God is stronger than my God. Your God is for you and not against you." So him and his people, they leave Egypt, and as they're going on their way, you know, you think of thousands and thousands of people marching along, you know, and you've got dust clouds happening. One of the Israelites looks back and he sees Pharaoh and his army come after them. And that person looks back and he freaks out. "Oh, we're going to die. Pharaoh's after us." And so everyone else hears this and they all freak out. And they all yell out to Moses, "What have you done? You've taken us from one place to a new place only for us to die. You've taken us from a place of slavery to this new place that you said God has promised us only to die." So Pharaoh goes, "God, what are you doing?" God says, "Don't worry, Moses, I got you back again." He said, and so he passed the Red Sea and they walk through, get to the other side, and then the Pharaoh and his army, they come through. And as they're crossing the Red Sea, God closes the waters and kills them all. Amazing. And then fast forward a little bit, they're going, you know, they're traveling along to the place that God has promised them, a land of milk and honey. You know, and he provides for them. He has manna come down. For those of you who don't know what manna is, it's a kind of leavened bready thing. You can Google it and find out. You know, he provides food for them so they don't have to cook. I mean, how awesome is that? It's like my dream come true. It's like going to the supermarket and grabbing every food that is cooked, and you don't have to pay for it, and you don't have to make it. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. You know, he goes before them, you know, during the day by cloud and at night by fire. He provides for every need they have. But as you read through the Old Testament, as you read through these chapters, you see a habit start to form. Every time they come up with an obstacle, a challenge, every time they took territory, every time things didn't go as well as they thought it would, they started to moan and complain. You see this time after time, and you also see God's graciousness and love for them. Because time after time he provides for them. Time after time he steps in and sorts things out for them. Yet time after time they continue to moan and complain. And it's because of this. Because I've been thinking about this, and there's this TV series. Who watches Netflix? Raise your hand. I want to see those hands. Netflix. Who's obsessed with Netflix? Seriously. And over the holidays, I was watching this TV program called Strong, and it's produced by Sylvester Stallone. And you've got 10 teams made up of trainers and trainees. The trainers are these physically fit guys who are at the top of their in their field. So you've got you know, one person who is the top in CrossFit. You've got another person who is who works with athletes, you know, basketball athletes and NFL athletes, and they they train them to be at the top of their game. And then you've got these trainers who are 10 women who go on the go onto the show because they want to get physically fit, not skinny, physically fit and strong. And as the show progresses week after week, you see a common theme come through. You see these trainers continually say to these women, you can do this, you have more to give. There's so much more in you that you don't realize. And every time, every single trainer, it doesn't matter what week you watch the show, will say to these women, the problem is that the battle is in your mind. If you can believe it in your mind that he can achieve it, then you'll do it. And as you get towards the end of the show, these women who started off not believing that they can actually push themselves further end up becoming totally different because they battled, you know, their mindset. And the same thing applies to the people of Israel. We know that in the New Testament, Israel represents the church or God's people. You know, and every time they faced a challenge, every time they came up against an obstacle, they kept reverting to what they relied on. You know, and what you rely on, you tend to lean on. What you lean on forms the habit that you depend on. And so even regardless of whether Israelites, what God did for the Israelites, just because it didn't go the way they wanted it, just because it didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen, just because they couldn't see the promised land, they started to rely on their old habits. And it was because their mind was still in Egypt. I was thinking about this last night, you know, because, you know, we tend to, like, look down on the Israelites and think, man, you people are stupid. Let's be honest. Are you dumb? Because if I physically saw God part the Red Sea and kill people who are after me, if I saw God, you know, go before me as a flame at night and a cloud during the day, as I saw God provide food for me, would I not believe that he could do anything? But they didn't. Every time they faced an obstacle, every time they faced a challenge, they reverted to back to their old habits. And it was because they had a slavery mindset and their mind was still in Egypt. And regarding the matter where God was taking them to, it didn't matter what new land God was taking to them. Their physical body was there, but they were still stuck in Egypt. And they continually reverted back to what they relied on. And as they stepped into new land, And as they embraced new cultures, the things that they embraced, the things they started to lean on were the idols of the land. And it's interesting because they were following the true God, but they would always turn to a false God. Wow. And it got to a point where Moses went up to give the spend time with God and get the Ten Commandments. An interesting thing happened. They started to freak out because Moses took longer than what they thought he would take. Wow. And they got impatient, and so they started to freak out, and they made a golden calf. They made an idol to worship, and this idol was an idol of fertility. And fertility, they worshipped this idol, which represented fertility of birth so they could have children, fertility of the land so they could prosper, that whatever they planted would bear fruit. And they turned to this God. And I thought, you know, it's quite interesting that God constantly reminds them not to worship false gods, not to worship idols. In Exodus, if you want to go to Exodus chapter 20, we'll read from verse 3. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." In other words, the people of Israel were looking elsewhere for their provision. And they had the Almighty God in front of them. Yet they continued to look elsewhere. Matthew 6, you don't need to go there. I'll read from the Message translation. Verse 33 says, "If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human need, human concerns will be met." Deuteronomy 10, our scripture we're focusing on, there are five key points God addresses. "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers," land represents growth. It represents expansion. It represents wealth. "And when I bring you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities." Cities represent commerce, employment, and trade. "Cities that you did not build, and houses," which represent shelter, a home, belonging, family, "that you did not build." Wow. "And cisterns that you did not dig," which was water, which is a well that stored water, which represented nourishment. "And vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant," which is food, provision. "And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." The very five same things that the people of Israel turned to follow is the very five things God is addressing, and I believe in church and in people's lives this morning. You know, church, the more we get, the more we want. You know, for me, it's something I struggle with, and I'm going to be honest here. I'm very fortunate. I work for a great company, and ever since I've been with that company, I continually get pay rises. Not because of what I do, obviously it is to some degree, but it's because of the blessing of God in my life. But the interesting is that the more I get, the more I want. And so I want more, I spend more. I spend more, so I want more. And so you have this vicious cycle that occurs. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting nice things. Hear my heart when I say there's nothing wrong. But there is something wrong when it becomes the thing that you focus on, and it becomes a obstacle in your life. And this is what God was trying to address with the people, time and time and time again. But they were never satisfied. They wanted more. They continually turned to their old habits, to their old mindsets. You know, and as I said before, it seems that the people, you know, that I'm only focusing on the negative with the people of Israel. And it's because they never saw what they had. They never saw that they left slavery. And we know slavery represents, you know, for us in the New Testament, a time when we didn't know God. That they left a land of slavery, a land of torment and despair. And if we apply that to our lives, a time of addiction, a time of depression, a time of lack. You know, God took them out of that place and he planted them. And he took them into new land, but they never saw it. Because they still only focused on what they didn't have. You know, and there's a part in the scripture where, you know, they as they're journeying, they start to moan. Hey Moses, I'm sick of eating the same food. I'm sick of, you know, constantly journeying and not being able to have a place to stay, a permanent place. I'm sick of my clothes being dusty. I'm sick and tired of not having Wi-Fi. You know, I'm sick and tired of not being able to go into the supermarket and get whatever I want. You know, there's no shopping malls around. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this, I'm sick of this, I'm sick of this. They always were never satisfied. And every time they continue to moan and groan, they continue to turn their face away from God and lean onto the things that they thought would fill the space in their lives. You know, church, everything we have comes from God. My shoes, my clothes I wear, the house I live in, the car I drive, the job I have, my pay rises, my laptop, everything I have, right down to my socks and undies, all come from God. It does. Because it's God that provided that job for me. It's God that heard my cry when I said, God, I need a good job. God, I need more money so I'm able to, you know, be financially comfortable. You know, and this morning, everything you have is from God. He heard your cry. He heard your desperation, and he gave it to you. Yeah. And what does the Bible say? Don't forget about me when I give you what you want. Wow. Don't forget about me when I've taken you from a place of addiction into freedom. Yeah. Don't forget about me when I lead the person that's on your heart to the Lord. Don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable. When we become comfortable, it leads to complacency. You know, this whole week, I really struggled putting this message together because I was saying to God, God, I want them to hear my heart. I want them to hear what you're trying to say. Verse 12 in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll read the message version. It says, when you take it all in and settle down, pleased and content, I like that, pleased and content. Make sure you don't forget how you got there. Make sure you don't forget how you got there. Every single one of you are here because of God. Make sure you don't forget how you got here. Not to church this morning, but to the place that you're in, your relationship with God. I remember as a new Christian, when I first got saved, I was so passionate for God. Just wanted to do anything he wanted me to do. Got involved, you know, just did it. Whatever the pastor wanted, I did because I just wanted to serve God. But, you know, as you start to walk the faith, as you start to experience challenges and disappointments, the things that you valued and the things that you said, I will never compromise on this, when you are a new Christian starts to slide. Hear me when I say this, church, because the Lord wants to say something to you this morning. And this is the part I struggled with. You know, when we were new Christians, we drew a line and we said, I will never compromise in my church attendance. I will never compromise attending prayer meetings. I will never compromise in reading the truth of God and taking it into my life. I will never compromise fellowshipping, hanging out with other believers. I will never compromise in sharing my faith with someone, my colleagues at work. I will never compromise in putting my hand up and saying, use me. But as you progress in your faith and things happen, the things that you thought, I will never compromise, and starts to slide. And it was the same thing with the people of Israel. They physically saw the Almighty God, but as they journeyed and as they took longer to be able to walk into the promised land, the things they said that they would never compromise, they started to compromise. And those things started to become the idols in their life. There's two ways we can look in this scripture. The things that God gives you, unless you are submitted to God, unless you are grounded in God, will end up becoming the idol in your life. That's why God says, don't forget about me. When I give you the things that you desire, when I give you the things that you want, the things that you've dreamed of, the things that you wanted to achieve, don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me. God wants to take you from your old habits into his God habits. And the people of Israel never saw this. And in the end, he started to deal with them one at a time. And the people who left Egypt, however many thousands, only a couple went into the promised land. Because they never compromised on the values that they had with God. They never compromised their faith in him. You know, this morning, I want to encourage you that to keep your eyes focused on God, to not allow the successes of your life, the things that you've achieved, the things that you've wanted and you've got, to become a stumbling block before you. Because the thing is, when we look at what we have and it becomes a stumbling block, it's before you and you can't see the face of God. And this is what happened with the people of Israel. They had God in front of them, but because they allowed the idols to take root, the false gods to take root in their life, they never saw the face of God. And this morning, church, I want you to hear the cry of God's heart. And it's this: don't forget him. Don't forget him. Don't allow the things that you've achieved, your talents, your giftings, whatever, to become a stumbling block that you cannot see the face of God. You know, and as you read the scriptures before that main scripture, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is no other God. And he says, hear, O Israel, twice, because he's saying, will you listen? Because what I'm about to tell you is very, very important. Get off Snapchat. Stop flicking through Instagram. Stop posting on Facebook. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your heart represents the affections of your affections. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. The soul represents the wants, the desires, your dreams. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. And that represents your successes, your talents, your giftings, the things you're good at. The very same things that cover land, cities, home, water, and food. Why? So that it may go well with you. So that when you are faced with challenging times, when you're faced with, as a popular term is used, fake news, as you're faced with some horrendous things, things you think, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? Your face won't be turned to the idols, to the things that you've relied on, but it will continually be face forwarding towards God. Obstacles, when they're in front of you, they make you look to the left or the right. What does the scripture say about that? It says, do not look to the left or the right, but look straight ahead. This morning, church, there are people here that God is just knocking on your heart and saying, you've got some idols in your life. I'm not talking just to you guys, I'm talking to me as well. There are idols in your life that have slowly become an obstacle. Idols in your life that are making you turn your face away from me. Things that you've relied on every time you go through a difficult time, a challenge, or when you become comfortable, there are idols. And he wants you to bring it to him this morning. If I can just have everyone stand. If I could just get the band to come up. You know, church, I'm going to open the altar. And if there are things in your life that you need to bring to the foot of the cross, then I want to encourage you to do it. There is no shame in coming up the front, because what it says to God is, I'm turning my face back to you. If there are idols, if there are things that have come between you and God, then I want to encourage you to come up. We've got the prayer team here and they will pray for you. There's a group of people here that you've become complacent. For some reason or another, you've allowed things to settle. The things that you said as a young Christian that you wouldn't compromise on. But as you've walked in your faith and as you faced challenges and obstacles, you started to become lukewarm. You've compromised on those things that you said that you would never compromise on. God wants to deal with that this morning. He wants to soften your heart this morning. He wants to turn your face towards him again this morning. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to come up. You know, church, we're a family. And families stick with each other through the good times and the tough times. There is no shame coming up. We love you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you in your journey with God. And lastly, we would love to pray for people who don't know God, who are still trying to find their way. If that's you this morning, we just want to encourage you to come up. We would love to pray for you.